Welcome to the June 7th service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. Our virtual service today is led by our minister, Reverend Pam Phillips, assisted by Worship Associate Stephen Henninger. The title of Rev. Pam's homily is Active Compassion.
Well, welcome everyone. Today, as we embark on our month-long meditation on compassion, We will center the voices, experiences, and perspectives of Black people. Compassion calls us to listen to voices and believe them. Compassion calls us to look inward and evaluate how we are supporting or continuing to exclude voices from society. Today, we will begin the work of compassion together. Welcome to worship. Welcome to all who are here regularly, those who stop in every now and then, and to those that are new to our congregation. Welcome to our spiritual community, where we will lean into challenging topics to better ourselves and our world. I would also like to hold up a few announcements. You'll find in the chat in a few moments the link to the Joys and Sorrows card, which you can submit a joy or sorrow that will be shared later in the service today aloud. You'll also find a link to the newcomer card. If this is your first time joining us, please leave us a note so we may stay in touch. Today, there's a spiritual aging workshop at 3 p.m. And then lastly, this week marks the beginning of our summer religious education program. Today's lesson that was emailed out is called Books and Cooks, and it is on this week's lessons in blueberries, pancakes, and pigs. As you light your chalice from home, please join me in reading the words that are on your screen. We light this chalice for the warmth of welcome, the light of hope, and the fire of service. Today's opening words are by Tyler Coles, a young seminarian from Roanoke, and is titled In Honor and Praise of Black Rage. If we are ever to feel compassion, to suffer with, for those who are facing constant injustice and systemic oppression, we need to listen to their words. We need to acknowledge and begin to understand their suffering. And sometimes that will make us feel uncomfortable, and that is okay. Let us listen to Tyler.
Deep in the shadow of night, down near the crossroads and cemetery gates, with bitter liquor and cigar smoke wafting, I greet you. Clad in white upon the floor before shrines, following the names of the ancestors being uttered, I greet you. You are the sacred and righteous rage of my people, echoing throughout time from the lands of our elders, from the depths of the ocean, I hear you now. You call out to us in the swirling winds, in the clamoring of lightning, in the crashing of waves, in the flow of rivers, in the rustling of forests, in the clouds that move across the heavens, in the drumbeat of the earth. You are present in the cries of Black Lives Matter and No Justice, No Peace. You shimmer brightly in the flames of buildings crumbling to the ground as they are consumed in flame, in the calls for protests and direct action, in the stirring of pots, the laughter of children, in the tears and prayers of our guardians. You are Black Rage, holy and sacred, unbound and unapologetic. You swell in the hips and breasts, in the curves of cheekbones and nostrils, in the beats of the heart and pulsating thoughts, in exhaustion, in frustration, in numbness and mobilization, in life. And you name yourself as good. Holy and sacred Black Rage. Be ever present in our struggle for liberation, in our work to be, to love, to exist. Guide our movements in all of their forms as we strive to be good ancestors, ensuring that our descendants might look upon our memory with favor. For you, for them, invite us to live without fear. Dear holy and sacred Black Rage, give life to this valley of dried bones. Move like fire upon our spirits. Stir within us now and forevermore. Ashe, so be it, and amen.
Thank you, Tyler. The weekly offering is a reminder and a ritual that we are part of the interconnected web of life. Each week, UUCNRV gives half the collection plate to a local or UU-affiliated organization committed to doing good works. This week's offering will go to the Campaign Zero. Campaign Zero is an advocacy organization pursuing a variety of policies to end police violence. You may give through the information on your screen, our Give Plus app, or text FUND to 844-909-2617. If you have never used these methods, you may look at the order of service and the announcements for more information. You will also be able to give after the service as well.
Look over the weeks past and honor all the feelings that have come into your heart. The anger, the confusion, the fear, the sadness. If we are to be people of compassion, we must be able to feel not just the feelings of others, but our own emotions. Let us hold them tenderly, carefully. Amen. And blessed be. So, it's time for the homily. Our lives have already been disrupted by the pandemic, but the murders of George Floyd and before him of Breonna Taylor and before her, Ahmaud Arbery, these deaths have shaken our country to its core. They have awakened the Black Rage that Tyler Coles invokes in our opening words. Holy and sacred Black Rage. And that rage has found voice in the protests across not only this country, but across the entire world. And that has been unsettling and upsetting, especially when it has erupted into violence and destruction of property. Not since the LA riots, following the acquittal of the police who beat Rodney King, has the raid exploded in quite this way. Not since the riots following the death of Martin Luther King Jr. has the whole country been engaged in this level of protest. This is an unsettling and upsetting time. And if you're like me, you've been absorbing much of it through all different kinds of media. I find myself seeking out the news more frequently, watching to see what's happening in the different cities across the country, hoping for peaceful protests, not wanting to see more violence and destruction, even while I understand its cause. And I've been reading all kinds of news articles and editorials and blogs, trying to wrap my head around some of the, for me, new concepts like defunding the police as ways to stop the seemingly endless incidents of unarmed Black people dying at the hands of the police. and I've been listening to the voices of people of color, people whose understanding of discrimination, of oppression, of police violence is not gained from watching the news or reading articles, but from their lived experience. Mothers and fathers who know what it's like to send their Black sons out into a world that regards them as a threat just for being, who worry about their very lives. As unsettling and upsetting as these times are for me, and for many of you, as a white person, I know that it is nothing compared to what it must feel like for people who are Black. For those of us who identify as white, we can be horrified and angry and despondent over these most recent deaths, but we can never know the anger and outrage of people who know discrimination and oppression every single day of their lives. Which makes our theme for this month's worship, what does it mean to be a people of compassion? It makes it complicated. And one definition of compassion from researchers at Compassion Lab is the heart's response to suffering. Compassion, from the roots passio, suffering, and calm, with, means to suffer with another. But how can we suffer with people whose experience of the world is so different from our own? That was a question uppermost in my mind as I prepared to speak at a gathering yesterday sponsored by the Christiansburg Institute. Now, the Christiansburg Institute was the first high school in Southwest Virginia to educate the formerly enslaved. It was established in 1866 and closed in 1966 when the schools here were desegregated. Some of you may know some CI graduates. So what could I say at a gathering for healing and justice among people whose understanding of the need for healing and justice is so much greater than my own? What could I add to the words of people who know injustice in a way that most of us never will? The invitation to this gathering cited the ancestral discipline of nonviolent active resistance achieved through the spiritual practices of healing, prayer, joy, honesty, and a commitment to truth-telling. So I spoke to this last practice, a commitment to truth-telling. And I told an uncomfortable truth, that for too long, too many of us white people have been perpetuating the systems of oppression that brought us to that gathering. For too long, we have heard stories of discrimination and oppression from Black people without giving them the credence they deserve. Not until we watched that truth with our own eyes, with the advent of smartphone videos, could some of us begin to believe, to understand that truth. How many times have you heard someone say, well, we might not know the whole story. Why did we have to see it with our own eyes to believe their truth? But now that we have, we must listen. How can we feel compassion? How can we suffer with people whose experience of the world is so different from our own? We can listen to them, not just with our heads, but with our hearts. And we can let ourselves be moved by what we feel, moved to action. Because compassion is an innate part of human response to suffering, which is comprised of a three-part experience of noticing another's pain, dealing with another, and responding in some way. It's been difficult trying to figure out how to respond, especially in the time of COVID-19. Some of you have been able to attend local protests, the march on Monday afternoon, the gatherings at the police station on Tuesday and at the Christiansburg Institute yesterday, and the die-in on Henderson Lawn last night. Gathering physically with others has become so much more precious these days, and it does one's heart good to be with others at such a time as this. But I urge you to take care, to wear a mask, and maintain social distancing as best you can. If you can't go in person, I urge you to seek out online options. The UUA held a vigil last week that was live streamed but is still available to view. You can listen to the voices of Black Unitarian Universalists and heed their calls for justice. I've also found that listening to the voices of younger people has been helpful to learn about how best to respond. UUC member Ashley Spinks wrote a Facebook post that caught my eye. In part, she wrote, "It is not my place to characterize the last week's protests for you or to share how I feel. My job as a white person with so many privileges is to uplift the voices of Black organizers and activists. My job is to ask or learn how I can be of service to their movement, to their fight for civil rights and safety, and then to give that support to the greatest extent possible." The small ways that Ashley's found to leverage her privilege and position are to give money. "I'd encourage those who are able to donate to bail funds across the country," she writes, "which use the money to free protesters. You can also monetarily support Black-owned businesses, Black-led advocacy groups, or organizations like Reclaim the Block." If I had time, I would read all of Ashley's posts. She had a few things to say that made me think. But for now, let me just share her conclusion. People of privilege don't get to decide where we go from here. Black people have generations of knowledge about how to protest and also which aspects of this system desperately and most immediately need change. I have benefited from this system my entire life and continue to do so. So the best thing I can do is listen and find ways to give of myself in the coming weeks and months. Yes, well said, Ashley. I would add that we can respond in the coming weeks and months by demanding that our elected officials begin true reform of the justice system, particularly police accountability, and invest in the communities that have been victimized. We can respond by voting for leaders who take seriously the calls for justice and equity. In the coming weeks and months, we'll have many opportunities to respond to the pain of racial injustice, to express our compassion. But this morning, I invite us all to get out of our heads and stay in our hearts, to feel all the emotions that this past weeks have stirred in us. Many of them are uncomfortable, and some even scary. But these emotions help fuel our passion, help stir us to action. So let us end with a ritual of lamentation. I invited people at the beginning to get some salt and water. And I invite you now to pour salt into that water. Stir it around. The words of this ritual were written by Reverend Erica Hewitt, and she based it on a ritual created by Reverend Dr. Carol Sissel. This has been a week of outrage and lamentation. The deep generational trauma of white supremacy in our country made itself known yet again when George Floyd died under a Minneapolis police officer's knee. This was a 21st century lynching. It wasn't an isolated act of white violence. It's what's been happening to Black and Brown people, and especially Black men, for centuries, for millennia. Would you take a breath with me? And would you please use the chat to write the name of one of the many Black people who have been killed through white violence? I invite you to write in the chat now. If you identify as white, our grief must also be a reckoning. This violence is at the heart of our country's origin story. Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz points out, the founding of a state based on the ideology of white supremacy, the widespread practice of African slavery, and a policy of genocide and land theft. We will not ignore George Floyd's death or its terrible context. We have metastatic racism, says Ibram X. Kendi, and it is literally killing America. And so, I have a bowl of water and some salt. If you do too, I invite you to use your hand to stir the salt into the water, to submerge your fingers in it, as we have promised to put ourselves into the holy work of anti-racism. I invite you to taste the salty water as a reminder of the grief and trauma inflicted on Black and Brown bodies in this country, and the legacy of that pain that is ours to help both dismantle and heal. As names appear in the chat, I invite you to say them aloud to yourself. Say those names with grief, and if you're white, with responsibility. Write those names on your signs when you go to anti-racism vigils. Our tears are not enough. Our anger is not enough. But our lamentation and rage drive us to act, to hold vigil, to make phone calls, to offer financial support, to interrupt harmful conversations, and to initiate uncomfortable conversations with those who would rather look away. May these tears be a beginning. May we keep going. Amen. And blessed be. We'll extinguish our chalices, but not the light of truth, even and especially those very hardest of truths, not the warmth of community, for we need one another now more than ever, and certainly not the fire of commitment. Let us carry these in our hearts until we are together again. Amen, and blessed be.